أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. طسم تلك آيات الكتاب المبين. لعلك باخع نفسك ألا يكونوا ظلت أعناقهم لها خاضعين. وما يأتيهم من ذكر من الرحمن محدث إلا كانوا عنه فقد كذبوا فسيأتيهم أنباء ما كانوا به يستهزئون أولم يروا إلى الأرض كم أنبتنا فيها من كل زوج كريم إن في ذلك لآية وما كان أكثرهم ربك لهو العزيز الرحيم وإذ نادى ربك موسى أن ائت القوم قوم فرعون ألا يتقون قال رب إني أخاف أن يكذبون ويضيق صدري ولا ينطلق لساني فأرسل إلى هارون ولهم علي ذنب فأخاف أن يقتلون قال كلا قال كلا فاذهبا بآياتنا فأتيا فرعون فقولا إنا رسول رب العالمين إنا رسول رب بالعالمين أن أرسل معنا بني إسرائيل قال ألم ربك فينا وليدا ولبثت فينا من سنين وفعلت فعلتك التي فعلت وأنت من الكافرين قال فعلتها Amen. ففررت منكم لما خفتكم فوهب لي ربي حكما وجعلني من المرسلين وتلك نعمة تمن قال رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما إن كنتم موقنين قال قال ربكم ورب آبائكم الأولين قال إن قال رب المشرق والمغرب وما بينهما إن كنتم تعقلون قال لئن اتخذت إلها غيري لأجعلنك من المسجونين قال أولو جئتك بشيء مبين قال فأت به من الصادقين فألقى عصاه فإذا هي ثعبان مبين ونزع يده فإذا هي بيضاء قال للملأ حوله إن هذا لساحر عليم يريد أن يخرجكم من أرضكم بسحره فماذا تأمرون قالوا أرجه وأخاه وابعث في المدائن حاشرين يأتوك بكل سحار عليم فجمع السحرة لميقات يوم معلوم وقيل للناس هل أنتم مجتمعون لعل السحرة إن كانوا هم الغالبين فلما جاء السحرة قالوا لفرعون أئن قال لهم موسى ألقوا ما أنتم ملقون فألقوا حبالهم وعصيهم وقالوا بعزة فرعون إن فألقى موسى عصاه فإذا هي تلقف ما يأفكون فألقي السحرة ساجدين قالوا رب موسى وهارون قال آمنتم له قبل أن آذن لكم إنه لكبيركم الذي علمكم السحر فلسوف تعلمون لأقطعن أيديكم وأرجلكم من خلاف إنا نطمع أن يغفر لنا ربنا خطايانا صدق الله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد، عجل فرجهم وأهلك أعداءهم. السلام عليكم dear brothers and sisters. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، بارئ الخلائق أجمعين، باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد، وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين المنتجبين، لا سيما بقية الله في الأراضين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين. For the hastening the return of our Imam, let's recite the salawat. اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وعجل فرجهم. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assists us in this move in our community here, in being able to set up our new and most recent, we can say, blessing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, which is a property that inshallah will be a base for the Imam of our time. I think it's important that all of us see this new blessing, this property, as the property of the Imam of our time and a base for the Imam of our time, the base for his activities inshallah. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts us as servants of the Imam, servants of his cause, and he assists us in assisting his cause the way it's most pleasing to him, inshallah. The verses that were recited from Surah Ash-Shu'ara have a lot of important meanings, teachings, reminders that we're all in need of, particularly in these times that we are in the state of anticipation. We are in a state that we are transitioning in our local community here. Others who may be watching this, maybe they can think of, or you can think of, conditions that you were in a state of anticipation, waiting for something to go through, something to happen, especially when it's for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is what we're talking about here. There are times where we're waiting on something, we expect something to come through, but what we're waiting on is something related to our personal life, for our material gains, material benefits, money, property, business going through, getting a job, career, exams, and things like that. Those are some of the things that we anticipate, or we're waiting. We have a waiting period. We do certain things, but then there are times where there really isn't something that we can do. We've got to wait. For instance, in our personal lives, we just took the exam now. We have to wait for the results. There's a waiting period. You take the bar exam if you're you're studying to be a lawyer. When you take the bar exam, then you have to wait for the results. Now, that waiting period, that's a period of anticipation. There's nothing really you can do. You've already done what you were supposed to do. There are these periods that we deal with. In our personal lives, it's one thing. And there are times that for the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in trying to make progress in his path, struggling in the path of Allah, doing something for his cause, there are periods that there are times where while we're moving towards a certain destination, we're moving in a certain direction, we are taking steps, but then certain parts of that are not up to us. Certain parts of that are related to the conditions that seem to be involving other people or other variables. And so we have a waiting period. This is the state we're in, where we've applied for the building, we've put in an offer, we've opened the escrow, we've done whatever was required for that. We are doing, whoever can, people who came, we put up the wall there to be able to give back the current location that we have. Cleaning up, taking things, finding places to take and store the equipment that we have, and then painting and so on and so forth. But while we're doing this, we take a couple of steps, then there's really nothing that we can do. We have to wait, and then something opens up, we take another step, and so on and so forth. These waiting periods that we have are important in many ways. This is a relatively small instance. We are anticipating good results, inshallah. We are trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are certain that He is assisting and He will assist further. But the whole thing is relatively small when you compare it to prophets, when you compare it to what the prophet was doing, and he did his job very well. He would do certain things, he would speak to people, then he would have to go in at times in the first, for example, first 3 years of the Risala or the mission of the Prophet. It had to be in secret, the calling towards people. So he would see this person, talk to them, then there would be a period of waiting to find another person. So that waiting process is where it's much more significant, much more serious, the aspect that we're dealing. But we're dealing with it on a much smaller scale, but we are dealing with it. We are in that state. And we will, inshallah, hopefully, when we look at the greater scheme or the greater picture, which is that we are getting closer and closer to the coming of the Imam. And hopefully all these steps that we are taking, we do see them being relevant to the coming of the Imam and so on. And so these small steps in our locality with our brothers and sisters that are close to us are steps for the coming of the Imam. So there's a complex form or a compound form of waiting and anticipating. One is for the smaller, short-term event, and the other is for the greater and a little more long-term, hopefully not too long-term, the coming of our Imam. And we see all of them in light of one another. These conditions are very important in many ways. The verses that we read are relevant to this. How so? Part of it... There's a lot of different passages in these various verses that we can find to be relevant to our conditions, that very particular description of our conditions. One of them is this. At the beginning of the chapter, it said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Taasin Mim, Tilka ayatul kitab al-mubin, La'allaka ba'khi'un nafsaka alla yakunu mu'minin. إن نشأ ننزل عليهم من السماء آية فظلت أعناقهم لها خاضعين. You may want to باخع نفسك. Roughly, it means you want to kill yourself. Or you're putting so much pressure on yourself that you're going to cause yourself to die. ألا يكونوا مؤمنين, because they're not accepting. They're not becoming مؤمنين. They're not مؤمنين. إن نشأ, if we wanted. نُنَزِّلْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ آيَةً فَظَلَّتْ أَعْنَاقُهُمْ لَهَا خَاضِعِينَ. If we wanted, we would have brought down from the heaven a sign, that would be in such a way that ظلت فظلت أعناقهم لها خاضعين, their necks would bend down and they would yield to it, they would accept it. If we wanted, we could have sent that type of sign. How is this relevant? The relevance is this. The Holy Prophet is preaching, he is shedding light, he is guiding, he is showing the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The majority are rejecting, they're not accepting. Over time, the numbers increased. Over time, more people came to believe. At the point where there are lesser numbers of believers, lower numbers of believers, this is more serious, this feeling of the Prophet that he's working and he wants them to believe, but they're not believing. On the other end, there are the other people. This variable of them choosing to accept is not up to the Prophet. The Prophet does his part, he does his share. He preaches, he teaches, he recites the verses where they can hear. The other part of it is for them to accept, for their hearts to open up. Now, there were some that in the end never accepted, and there are verses related to that they will never accept. But there were many, in fact the majority, that ended up believing. It took time though. It took for some 20 years from the time the Prophet started until the time they accepted Islam. It took 20 years of work. It took over or around 20 years, the entire time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi preaching Islam to the people in his lifetime. It was 23 years. 20 years. The last 3 years after the conquest of Mecca, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, people started flocking towards Islam. 20 years he had to work until they started coming in large numbers and more people accepted Islam and so on and so forth. So they did come, but it took that long. This is one instance of the relevance of these. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about a story telling the Prophet of a previous example, which is Musa and him being sent to Fir'aun to release Bani Israel, and then that process beginning and how that went. This story is being told. A lot of details are mentioned as well. For the Prophet to see, to be told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, previous examples are similar. Musa was told to go to Fir'aun and tell him that we are the messenger of God and you need to release and hand over Banu Israel, stop oppressing them, release them, hand them over to us and let them be. Now, I'm not sure if he was suggesting from the beginning that they want to leave. That part of it is not clear. It seems like initially the idea was for Fir'aun to also believe. He rejected in the end. Banu Israel decided to leave, and by the time they got on the other side, then Fir'aun was destroyed. But the idea for our purpose, what we're looking at these signs, these ayat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents to us, is that this is a time-consuming process. It is something that is not going to happen right there and then. You come, you're going to say that, Fir'aun is going to say something else, he's going to do something, then the next stage, then the next stage, then the next stage, and so on and so forth. Again, our example of anticipation and waiting is not really comparable. It's very small. We're not dealing with an enemy in this regard. It's just, you know, putting in an offer and waiting for the paperwork and all the steps that need to be taken in order to get that place, and then the steps to evacuate this place, leave this place, clean it up, fix it up, and so on and so forth. But the principles are the same. The principles are the same. It's just that in some cases we have a less difficult test, in some cases we have a more difficult test. In those cases, It's a more difficult test, and for our case, it's small. It's a much lesser, less difficult test. What is it that we understand from these verses that are in this chapter regarding our condition? What is it that we can learn from this? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Prophet directly and also through the story is that God is the one who is in charge. Let's read that line again, and hopefully we can get this across. It's very important. In verse 4 it says, إِنَّ شَاءَ نُنَزِّلْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ آيَةً فَظَلَّتْ أَعْنَاقُهُمْ لَهَا خَاضِعِينَ If we wanted, we could have sent a different type of sign, ayah. A type of sign that as soon as they see it, they're like, oh, this is it. God tells us about in other chapters what he means by that. And that is, for instance, on the Day of Judgment, when things are so clear that none of what you thought was in charge of the system is in charge of it. It's God who is in charge. Well, that's a clear sign that God is in charge, and they would give in to that. They would start pleading to Allah. And on a lesser extent, he gives other examples where he puts a person in a situation where they see they have nothing to grab a hold of, and at that point they have this hope, and they plead to God. They say, God, help me in that state. It's clear nothing can help them. They realize there is someone that can help them. They ask that someone, and as soon as they are taken out of that condition, God saves them from that condition. They go back to what they were doing. These are examples of signs that God is in charge. He is the Lord. That He shows people, they accept and they reject, or in the case of the Day of Judgment, it's already too late when they see those signs. It's already too late. Or once they leave this world upon death, those are clear signs. It becomes Yawm al-Qiyamah. It's like bright. There's no darkness anymore in regards to this truth and this reality of God being the sovereign, the Lord, the owner, the possessor. Anyhow, he says, if we wanted, we could have sent these signs. We chose not to. We chose not to. Apply this to whatever context you're struggling to get something done. There are obstacles on the way. This obstacle here mentioned is the people not accepting, not wanting to accept, as much as he gives them signs that are clear, but are not those types of other signs that God said, if we wanted, we could have. Just we gave you these signs, they're supposed to accept with these signs. Okay. They're not accepting because there are these signs. We could have changed that. We didn't change that. We decided not to give them those. We didn't give you those types of signs. Apply that too. We wanted the system to work in this way. If you got to fill out applications, if you find out something later, if this happens this way, if they pull it off the market at a certain period, if then they come back again. We wanted this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we wanted this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells those who are involved in His work and they want to struggle on His path, that he is in charge. If it's not going through, he didn't want it to go through at that point, in that way that you want.
إن نشأ ننزل
عليهم من السماء آية فظلت أعناقهم لها خاضعين. So what is this supposed to do? What is this teaching supposed to do for us? What are we supposed to do with this teaching? Maybe reword that, rephrase that. What's the benefit of knowing that? When you initially hear this, it sort of sounds like, why are you concerned? God is in charge. He doesn't want this. Don't be concerned. And then also what happens once you think of it in that way is like, okay, well, I guess we got to stop pushing. He doesn't want it, so we're going to stop pushing. We're not going to keep following up on it. And that's one of the things that happens. Whether we understand this or we don't, we give it a couple tries. And if it doesn't work, then we give up. And then when we're told this, this can be thought to be a reason for us to think, you know what? God doesn't want it, so let's forget about this. And then it turns into sometimes a slightly different thing where we hear people, we've seen a lot of people come and say, whether it's regarding marriage, it's regarding work, it's regarding studies, it's regarding Islamic work, whatever it is, that a person makes a few attempts, they hit roadblocks, they hit obstacles, there's things that happen that they can't figure out why, and it happens first time, then the second time, then the third time, then the fifth time, then the eighth time. They start telling themselves and they start asking, maybe God just doesn't, maybe this is a sign from God that I shouldn't do this. Okay. In the marital context, these are all examples of the same scenario. You start having problems in the first few years of marriage. You deal with it once. You have a bad fight, a lot of misunderstanding, a lot of wrong things are said. After a while, you're able to get over it. Like, oh, then a second time, something happens. It's serious. Then a third time. Then a fourth time. Then a tenth time. After the first year, second year, third year, you try to mend things and they keep coming up, disagreements, misunderstandings. I want this, she wants that. Why didn't she get over this? Why didn't he get over this? What? And so we're like, you know what? Maybe we're not supposed to. These difficulties, these things that come in the way, we start to think that way. When you add, when you mention this, well, God has a certain way of doing things. If he wanted, he would have made it differently. If he wanted, in the context of marriage, he could have made it such that you don't have any troubles. As soon as you get married, just work things out very smoothly. There's no issue. If he wanted, isn't he in charge? With Tawheed, he's in charge. But he didn't want that. He wants this. This is his system. So then again, let me go back to that point. When you hear this, you're like, okay, well, maybe we should stop trying. Stop trying to mend things. Stop trying to work it out. That's not the desired effect here. Look at the Prophet, the Holy Prophet is not being condemned for his persistence. He's actually being told in the Quran to continue and not to give up. And that the wa'd of Allah, the promise of Allah that people will flock towards Islam, large numbers, it will encompass the entirety of the globe. Those are promises that God made to the Prophet. Those promises are true. They will happen. Continue, keep moving forward despite whatever obstacle. That's the line that the Prophet is told. In fact, this aspect of Tawheed in this context, God being in charge, should help for a person to be, in a sense, reminded of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's involvement and their responsibility, our responsibility towards Allah, and look at what that responsibility is and move forward. So the message of this point of tawheed there, that God didn't want them to accept as soon as you said to them. God could have made the system a different way. He could have given you a different set of signs for it to have caused them to accept Islam right when they saw that sign. He chose not to. Okay. What is the importance of this in the context where you're waiting? You try this, you try that, you want to do this, you want to do that, in whatever context. We've mentioned plenty of different examples. You were following up what you thought is your share. You wanted to do it, you hit these roadblocks, you realize, okay, I can't do this, I can't do that, I have to wait, maybe try again, look for another way. At times realize that right now there's nothing I can do, I have to wait a little bit, when conditions open up, then make another attempt. In this context, what's the benefit of إِنَّ شَأْ نُنَزِّلْ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ آيَةً فَظَلَّتْ أَعْنَاقُهُمْ لَهَا خَاضِعِينَ. The way to explain this, I think, requires us to understand what the purpose of this path of Allah, working for His cause, working for the 12th Imam, establishing a base for Him, printing books, translating books, speaking or publishing speeches, providing an environment, a center, a place for people to come, perform Salatul Jama'ah, perform the various a'mal that we have, and so on and so forth, those who want to be involved in these activities. What is the purpose and objective of that involvement? The first and foremost objective of that involvement is servitude of Allah, making progress towards Allah, self-purification. In other words, another way that this is worded in the Holy Quran is that you're trying to do what God wants. You're doing this because He said to do it. You're not doing it because you want the outcome. You're not doing this because you want to see all those people Muslimin. That's not why you're doing it. This doesn't mean that the Prophet wasn't supposed to want to see all people accepting Islam. That's besides the point. What's the objective? What's the motive? Wanting people to be Muslimin is itself an act. Okay. What is the motive behind that? Why do you want people to be Muslimin? What is the motive behind that? Why are you doing that? Why are you working in this way for this cause? It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, it's because we want to reach the proximity of Allah, it's because we want to be ibad and servants and slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the reason. We're not trying to accomplish that. We're not trying to buy the center. We're not trying to set up a station or a platform for speeches, for programs, for classes, for printing, for translation, for this, for that. We're not trying to do that. Those themselves are not the goals. Because God wants us to do them, we want to do them. So the actual objective, what we are wanting to do, what we are supposed to do, is to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants, to get us purified, and I think the best way I can put it to, for us to get this point, is this. The bottom line is that we're not the ones that guide anyone. We're not the ones that makes the movement move forward. We're not the ones that do any of that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that. What we're supposed to do is purify ourselves with these tasks. prayer, salat, salatul layl, where no one sees us, is for that. Jihad is for that. Building centers is for that. Buying centers is for that. Working for God's cause, whatever it is for that. It's for that objective. Okay. So if that is the objective, within the process of doing this work, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides us through that difficulty, through that waiting process, to accomplish not simply by, you know, we say, okay, you set up the center, that's baqiyatul salihat and so on. No, there's something that needs to happen internally. God helps us with these teachings. This is where we need to open the Quran and read and understand. We need to submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in regards to how He wants it to happen. He doesn't want it right now. I have to be pleased with that. While He doesn't want it to happen right now, it's your job. You need to work towards finding ways of making it happen. The Prophet is described here. This is his position, and he is the Prophet of God. What he does is based on divine teaching. This is not telling us something negative about the Prophet. He wants people to believe that seriously, that God says, لَعَلَّكَ بَاخِعٌ نَفْسَكَ أَلَّا يَكُونُوا مُؤْمِنِينَ. God doesn't say you need to remove that. There's nothing here that tells us that. He has got to have all that motivation, all that want, all that desire for this to happen. At the same time, they're not accepting it. Submit to that as well. This is what needs to happen in the heart of a believer that is elevating towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The command is want it, work for it as though it's going to happen tomorrow. That's your towards the taklif that God has given you. This is how you're supposed to feel towards it. At the same time, God doesn't want it to happen tomorrow with these variables, these obstacles, these other things that are not in your hand, and clearly they're not going to allow it to happen. You got to be pleased with that as well. In the greater scheme, we have got to, the hadith says, we need to be anticipating and doing intidhar of the coming of the Imam morning and night, day in, day out, 24/7. It has to be on our mind. We need to want it. Keep asking, Ya Allah, why is it not this Friday? Ya Allah, in this way, you know, why is it not this Friday? Why didn't it happen yesterday, which was a Friday? It could be happening in one of two ways. The wrong way is the one that doesn't have that submission, the second part. We are told to keep asking, where are you? Aina? Aina baqiyatullah? We're saying to Allah, where is baqiyatullah? Aina al-mutharru alladhi yujabu idha da'a? Aina al-talibu bidam al-maqtul bi karbala? Aina? And where is he? Where is he? I'm wanting. I'm supposed to want that. I'm supposed to want him. I'm supposed to want him to be coming and to establish the government of justice. That's all a want, a desire that I want tomorrow for it to happen. That want needs to be in me. While that want is strong in me, as this description goes, in terms of it not happening, I should not feel bad about it not happening from the perspective of its attribution to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, God doesn't want it to happen tomorrow. While I want it, I'm pleased with it not happening, as God wants. This combination is something that we find in one of the teachings that we find in these verses regarding our condition. We need to want for us to have the center up and running in no time. Tomorrow, if we could, that's a very strong desire and want. And based on that, looking for every opportunity to move forward and do the parts that are up to us. At the same time, if it gets prolonged, if it gets postponed, as long as it does, from the perspective of the attribution of that to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that is postponing it and delaying it, I have to be pleased with that. This combination is what is going to cause a believer to ascend. This is what causes Tawheed to penetrate the heart of a believer. And that Tawheed is something that needs to penetrate that heart. That's what we need to get to. This benefit for a believer in this small example that we're dealing with, that effect, that outcome, if it happens, if we're able to train ourselves in this way, in this context, then the outcome is going to be very great. Meaning, in terms of what we can accomplish externally and outwardly, is maybe a small base for the Imam of our time, very humbly. This is what our abilities are. But in terms of what happens internally for Allah, for the Imam of our time, no, that's a great deal. That's a very great deal. If a person is able to accomplish that in their heart, if they're able to achieve that in their heart, if they're able to have that level of tawheed, then what they have accomplished is great. And it's very interesting how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the teachings that He's given us in the Qur'an, and the conditions that He brings about in our daily struggles, smaller or greater, He provides an opportunity for us to make these changes, for us to be able to progress towards Him, inshallah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by the right of the Ahlul Bayt, that He helps us in all of these tests to be able to get closer and closer to Him. We ask Allah to hasten the return of our Imam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help all those who are helping His cause, especially our ulama, our maraja, and more so our leader. We ask Allah to forgive us all of our sins. We ask Him to forgive our parents, our grandparents, our relatives, all believers, those who are alive, those who have passed away. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all believers worldwide, all of us and all believers worldwide, our hajat, our needs, our requests, spiritual as well as material. Relieve all those who are struggling from hardships, difficulties, illnesses. Ya Allah, relieve us from the difficulties of this pandemic by providing the cure through the believers for all of humanity, inshallah. We ask Allah to relieve all the people of the world of the oppressions they're facing. Bin Nabi wa Alih, Rahimallah, man qara al-fatihata ma'as-salawat. Allahumma salli.